Let's read together Psalm 16. In this well-known messianic psalm, we have a prediction of the resurrection of Christ. There is also much application for faithful believers given throughout this psalm. Psalm 16, beginning with verse 1. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Let's begin our study of this psalm, Psalm 16, with some background notes. We read in the title of Psalm 16 that it is a miktam of David. Now, we don't know exactly what this word miktam means, but because the word miktam is related to the verb meaning to cover, it may indicate that it is a psalm relating to God's cover of protection over David in the midst of danger. Messianic psalms are psalms that look forward prophetically to the coming Messiah. There are three different types of messianic psalms. First of all, there is the pure prophetic messianic psalm. In this type of messianic psalm, the psalm is all about the Messiah and does not have anything to do with the experience of the psalmist. It is like the other messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, straight prophecy. Psalm 110, one of the most quoted psalms in the New Testament, is a pure prophetic messianic psalm. It has nothing to do with David's experiences. A second type of messianic psalm is the typical messianic psalm. In these psalms, the experiences of the psalmist are definitely in view, but the psalm goes beyond the experiences of the psalmist to the experiences of the Messiah. Thus, the psalmist becomes typical of the coming Messiah. Now, the third type of messianic psalm is a combination of the first two types. Part of the psalm is pure prophetic, and part of the psalm is typical prophetic. Psalm 16 is this type of messianic psalm. Throughout most of the psalm, David is speaking out of his own experiences of trust in the Lord, and everything he says is typical of Christ, the perfect man and Son of God, trusting in God the Father. But the second half of verse 10 is pure prophetic. Second half of verse 10, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. This could not be said of David in any way. This is straight prophecy in reference to the resurrection of Christ. In fact, that's the very point that both the apostles Peter and Paul make when they quote this psalm in the book of Acts. On the day of Pentecost, after Peter quoted verses 8 through 10 of Psalm 16, he went on to say, and I'm reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses." From Acts chapter 2, verses 29 through 32. And on Paul's first missionary journey, the Apostle Paul quoted from Psalm 16:10 in reference to the resurrection of Christ. I'm reading Acts chapter 13, beginning with verse 35. Therefore, he also says in another psalm, "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up saw no corruption. From Acts chapter 13, verses 35 through 37. So verse 10 of Psalm 16 is pure prophetic and refers only to Christ. But in the rest of the psalm, David is speaking from his own experience, which is typical of the Messiah. These experiences are also instructional for faithful believers, as we'll now see in our doctrinal and teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, faithful believers appreciate their present fellowship. Faithful believers appreciate their present fellowship. Fellowship for the believer is both vertical and horizontal. Vertical with the Lord and horizontal with fellow believers. In verses 1 and 2, we see the vertical, and in verses 3 and 4, we see the horizontal. Let's read verses 1 and 2 once again. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. In these verses, we see that David looked to the Lord for everything, protection, security, goodness, blessing. When you are in close fellowship with the Lord, you are completely dependent on the Lord. And when you are completely dependent on the Lord, you are in close fellowship with the Lord. That was David's experience. Now in verses 3 and 4, we see David's desire for fellowship with those who love the Lord and practice righteousness, and his determination to separate from those who have turned away from the Lord to foreign gods. Verses 3 and 4, once again. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another god. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Now what about us? Do we desire and delight in the company of fellow believers? Do we separate from worldly activities and those who practice ungodliness? And from all that is not pleasing to the Lord? Do we appreciate Christian fellowship? Illustration. I'll never forget appreciating Christian fellowship as never before when I was in the military. During training, I finally got a day off and was able to get away from the constant blasphemy and four-letter word talk and find some other Christians on the base. What a joy to experience Christian fellowship at that time. Do we appreciate Christian fellowship now, and not just when we get to heaven? Faithful believers appreciate their present fellowship. Doctrinal point number two, faithful believers appreciate their spiritual inheritance. Faithful believers appreciate their spiritual inheritance. Verses 5 and 6, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. In these verses, David likens his spiritual inheritance to land being divided up by drawing lots, as the promised land was divided up between the tribes of Israel. David said that the lines had fallen to him in pleasant places. Can you say that? Do you have such a high view of the sovereignty of God that no matter what happens, you know that God is in control and has your best interests in view? Remember, this is a messianic psalm. And the Lord could certainly say this, even though his lot was rejection and suffering and death by crucifixion. He could say, the lines have fallen to me in pleasant places, because he knew God's eternal plans were perfect. And we can say the same. Even the discipline we receive from the Lord for our wrongdoing, we can praise the Lord for this because we know that it is all part of God's perfect plan for us. If we appreciate our spiritual inheritance, as David did, we will not complain when it appears that our circumstances are not in our best interests. Faithful believers appreciate their spiritual inheritance. And doctrinal point number three, faithful believers appreciate their eternal security. Faithful believers appreciate their eternal security. Verses 8 through 11. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Eternal security is a doctrine that we believe the Bible teaches. That is, if you are really saved, you can't lose your salvation. But now to believe in your eternal security is one thing. To appreciate and enjoy your eternal security is something more. David enjoyed and appreciated his eternal security. We see in these verses that David is confident of his salvation. There is not even the slightest hint here that he could lose his salvation. David was not only trusting in the Lord for his safety and security in this life, but he knew that God would not leave him in Sheol or the grave. Death was not the end. He would know the path of life in the present and experience the presence of the Lord forever. Now, although the end of verse 10 applies only to our Lord, whose body never underwent decay, certainly verses 9 through 11 taken together imply the bodily resurrection of all believers. And this means that we are eternally secure, and we can rejoice in this truth as David did. Faithful believers appreciate their eternal security. Now we have two practical applications for Psalm 16. Practical application number one, turn your problem of insomnia into a program of instruction. Turn your problem of insomnia into a program of instruction. David said in verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. Let me ask you, what do you do when you can't sleep? David used that time for prayer and meditation on God's word. We should do the same. You know, some of my greatest times of meditation on God's word have been while I'm lying awake in bed. Have you had that experience? Why take sleeping pills? Why not use your times of sleeplessness for prayer and Bible reading? You may even find that this will help put you to sleep. Now, I'm not sure whether that's good or bad. In any case, turn your problem of insomnia into a program of instruction. Practical application number two. Let the Bible define your standard of excellence. Let the Bible define your standard of excellence. We hear a lot these days about the standard of excellence in academics, in sports, even in what kind of automobiles we should buy. But the biblical standard of excellence is different. It is much higher and much greater. It is righteousness. That's why David says in verse 3 of Psalm 16 that the saints on the earth are the glorious ones, or majestic ones, or excellent ones. Not the rich and the famous, but the righteous. Now let me ask you, what is your standard of excellence? How do you measure your own success or the success of others? What standard do you use? Let the Bible define your standard of excellence.